If you all don't mind, if you'll remain standing, thank you for standing. I need everybody to stand up for just a moment. And if you don't mind, I want you to go find a hand. We got a lot of things to be thankful for. Got a lot of things to be thankful for. Every once in a while, we need to thank God together. His church needs to give him praise. Last week, thank you all for those of you that were worshiping here. Last week, guess what? For the first time in my life, I saw 84 human beings confess their faith in baptism at one time. Well, we need to thank God for that. And you know what? All you young people, man, I'm excited that you're a part of a congregation where you see that as normal. Because you know what? I'm just a-betting that God's probably got some young men and women. And guess what? He's just beginning to plant the seeds where y'all are going to see, 840. You're going to see 8,000. You're going to see God do immeasurably more than you can imagine. I just want to offer prayer. Thanks. If you're a guest today, you're no longer a guest. We love you. Welcome here. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I hide absolutely nothing. I pray from the bottom of my little old crooked toe to the top of my crooked head that you would do this today. You would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I make no bones about that. We're going to talk about foundations today, and we're going to talk about getting a new mind today. Those two things, okay, we're going to work on today, all right? Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for your people. I thank you for this congregation, and Lord, Elizabeth and I are humbled to just be a part of the ride. Lord, what you've done is beyond the dreams that were initially launched. And so, Lord, do immeasurably more among us. Lord, I thank you for those folk, those 84 people that gave testimony to your grace in baptism. Lord, we thank you for those that have done that today, those that will do that next week and the following weeks. Lord, we thank you that you're alive. Your reality is just that. It's reality. So teach us today in these next few moments that you're a God of endless possibilities. So we may we live that out in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 You may be seated. I got to say this just one time and then I'm going to get on with it. Go Tops. Go Tops. Go Tops. And, I'm glad to see everybody cheer. But I just want you to know, I danced on the valley, the top of the mountain, because I've walked through the valley. And here's what I want to tell you. It does teach you something. Stay with it. Stay with it. Do what? Stay with it. And guess what? God brings things through. May God receive glory and honor. Several of those young men are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Several of those young men, coaches, they follow Jesus faithfully in this particular fellowship. So we want to thank God for them. And we want to thank God that they continue to do great things. Not just win football games. That's really cool and that's really great. And I'm all right, great, wonderful. But guess what? I pray that they have lives after they leave that very short moment in their life that will make an eternal difference forever and ever. That's what I'm really concerned about. So may all those things happen. I want to talk about building today. How many of y'all have ever had to build something? Everybody's had to build something, hadn't you? I mean, how many of y'all ever got just a little toy out of a Cracker Jack box when you were a kid and you had to what? Put it together. Well, I won't expose you to the truth today. God would like to remodel some of you. Well, really, all of us. And some of us need to get on a foundation that's actually going to work. And I'm humbled, Hillview, that you have been a church that has been willing to submit to what the Bible says. Truly what the Bible says. I think you all have heard me long enough. If you've been here, grown up here, if you're brand new, I'll give you my agenda. If people do not meet the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not receive the power of grace that comes from Jesus being crucified and Jesus being risen from the grave, they will spend an eternity in hell. The foundation is not that we have a judgmental God, but we have a God who has saved us from the wrath of sin. That's the good news of God. The good news of God is not that he's a wrathful God. That's not good news. That's just truth. The good news is God wants to change us. And God wants us to be built on something that will last. So if you don't mind, if you just tell your worship partner, you can be built better. Go ahead. That's going to be interesting. You know, you can be built better. Come on, tell them. You can be built better. Elizabeth, you can be built better. I can too. We can be built. How many of y'all glad to know you can be built better? Yeah. Pretty cool, isn't it? Now, I'm going to talk about five things that continue to build you up in the Lord. Five things. You've heard some of these before, but I want you to run a check. In the next 10 weeks, I want you to write this down in prayer. God needs to remodel me. If you keep notes, I want God show me where I need to be remodeled. Now, any of you all that own a home, have an apartment, you college students, especially you young female college students, as soon as y'all get in a college apartment, what's the first thing you do to it? You remodel it. It needs to be, this wall needs to be pastel. This one needs to be purple. Whatever y'all do. Elizabeth's always wanting to remodel something. I say, Elizabeth goes, our walls need to be painted. I said, honey, I don't look at the walls. I look at the TV. That's why I invest in TVs and she invests in paints. I said, if you sit down here and watch the TV with me, you won't know what color the walls are. She wants to remodel. She wants to repaint it. Hold on, follow me. Does God need to do some touch up, some sand up, some smooth out in some areas of your life? Now, today we're going to talk about being built on a foundation that is permanent. Now, I'm going to give you some heads up here today. First of all, you're doing one of the things you got to do on a regular basis, worship God. I'm going to ask you to do something. You need to pick up worship on a regular basis. Worship needs to be daily. Just a heads up, I would start with this understanding, this truth. This is the day the Lord has over here in Newlywed Corner. Okay, now listen, it's very important every day in this new journey. This is the day the Lord has made. And y'all want to have fantastic marriages. It's not what he wants, what she wants. God, what do you want? That'll set it on fire. That'll keep it together. That'll make it happen. Guys, we're on a new vision in this church. I make no apologies for this. I pray to God that divorce lessens inside this congregation. I pray to God that parents are going to be parents to their kids, are totally, absolutely on their way. In fact, I got some ideas that just work. If parents raise their children, we have a better world. Crazy. So, I got a word for you. Focus on your family. And if everybody would focus on their family in the name of Jesus, we'd have a better world. Focus. If right now your children are with you, that is your primary purpose. Beyond any religious stuff, beyond anything else. Now watch, parents. Let's give these kids a foundation going to last. Soccer's not it. Football's not it. Baseball's not it. Chess club's not it. It's going to blow y'all away. Cheerleading's not it. The dance team's not it, because you're not always going to be able to wiggle like that. Later on in life, you give one of those wiggles, you get a triple bounce off one bounce. That's what happens. That's just the way life goes. Amen. Now, hold on. I watch you. Some of you go, I can't believe you say stuff like that. Believe it. How many of you are giving your kids something that's going to last? The only thing that's going to last is what they learn in Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to make it to the what? To the end. So we're going to talk about worship on a regular basis. Now at Hillview, we got all kinds of worshipers. We got, you know, first and third Sunday worshipers. We got every Sunday worshipers. We got a lot of CEOs here at Hillview. A lot of CEO worshipers. Christmas, Easter only. And we got those things, you know what I mean? But I don't care when you get here. If you get here, you got to have an attitude of what? Worship. And worship doesn't mean I come and see. Worship means I come and participate with God. And so I'm giving you some checks today, some things that keep us moving as a church. Lord, I want to participate in your activity. Just kind of ask God when I work. You listen, sing, read, follow, listen, connect. The faith is active. It's not an observation. It is an experience. An experience with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to worship. Number two, can I just be real straight today? I just want to be real straight. Please, y'all don't blow up the internet server here at the church over this, but I'm just going to be straight. And some of you are going to get real offended right now, okay? This is not a time to be biblically stupid. Is that clear enough? And the reason some of you are conned so easily is you know nothing of what the Bible says. You just conned instantly. Some teacher can use a bunch of big words. Somebody can write a book and put some cool ologies at the end of it. And you think it's absolutely grand because you really don't know what the Word of God what says. You got to know what the Word of God says. This ought to bring you great hope at Hillview. Have you met our pastors? How many of y'all have met some of our pastors? They are evidence, especially, and I'm the chief of it, that anybody can learn the Bible. If you look at our pastors, you look at your lead pastors, especially Jamie and I, if we can understand it, anybody can understand it. That's why God called us to ministry. He said, I'm going to get somebody that looks like they wouldn't know much and show them that you can understand me. How many of y'all glad to know? Watch this. You got these guys out there today, and they talk about their education. That ain't it. I got all my alphabets for one reason, to tell you that ain't it. That's why I say it like that. Or if you want me to be proper, that is not it. It's about Jesus. It's not about the books you've read. It's about Jesus. And I want to get it to the core today because guess what? If you don't operate off the right foundation, you will always end up in the wrong place. Larry, you're an engineer. If you don't start that, you know, you got these jigs you got to put together to get the product lined up. If that jig is off a cillimeter, or meter, or whatever, it's off. What does that do to the rest of your products? They're off. And the more of them you run, what happens? The worse they get. Well, I'm going to propose to you that the Church of Jesus Christ in America has got away from her foundation. And when you get away from your foundation, you'll be way off on your destination. Somebody hear what God's trying to say today. You got to get with God. Oh, I got to talk to you. This is interesting. So guess what? You got to learn what the Bible. You got to get to Bible study. Now listen, don't tell me you can't go to Bible study at Hillview Heights Church. We got Sunday Bible studies, Wednesday Bible studies, noonday Bible studies on the internet. You stand before the Lord and tell the Lord that you couldn't find a Bible study at Hillview, he gonna slap you. Would you have to tell the Lord the truth? Lord, I desire to remain stupid. And I'm a pretty open-minded guy. If you want to be stupid, that's fine. But don't ask me to pay for your penalty. That's what I'm tired of in this world. People want the freedom to be stupid, but they want people like me to pay for their consequences. I got a hunch if you ate your own consequences, you'd come to the Lord a lot sooner. What's this? I've never seen a fool prosper. Now, I've seen a fool make a lot of money, but they can't keep it because they lack what? Foundation. Foundations are important. You know why? Here's why foundations are important. How many of you have noticed there'll always be a storm? Always be a storm. See, some people don't think down the road. We had a group of brilliant people here in our nation. They decided to burn up all of our corn reserves. Because we wanted to be green. The reason we have corn reserves is because guess what you might have one year? You all are a lot smarter than the brains that put this together. But you see what we think, guess what? Our theories work well as long as there are no storms. How many of y'all have noticed that? So guess what? You got to learn what the Bible says. Somebody hear what I'm saying? Learn what the Bible says. Okay, it works. Number three, you need to have some friends along the way. This is not a solo ride. You need some friends along the way. You can find a friend at Hillview, but you got to look at people and say, hey, you want to be my friend? What's your name?
Landon.
Landon? That's a cool name. My name's Steve. Good to meet you, Landon. Landon, did that cause you any pain, stress, or did it freak you out in any way? Maybe a little freak out, but other than that, you made it, right? Good job, Landon. You know, it works. Introduce yourself to people. Say, hey, we're on this ride together. We're in this together. How many of y'all realize we're in this together? That's one of the things I loved at Godstock. It come a flood, and guess what? Everybody was in it together. Tents, barbecue, and all being washed down in the glory of God. Every once in a while, you need to go camping with each other for this reason. It makes you depend on each other. Why is it when you go camping, you share, and when you live in a neighborhood, you're selfish? It's mine. What if we went from it's mine to man, it's God's, and let's use it all for the glory? Amen? God gives some friends. Fourth thing is this. Give and serve, man. Give and serve. Give and serve. I'm very pointed about money. Tithe. You say, what is tithe? 10%, no deductions. Why did God do 10%? Because he created Steve Ayers. And even Steve Ayers can figure 10%. It's a dime on the dollar. It's the Lord's. Amen? Now, if you got a problem with handing the Lord a dime on the dollar, then you got some big problems. And they ain't going to hit you right now, but they'll come later. I can't wait to hear everybody's excuses of why they were unfaithful. When they go, well, Lord, I couldn't afford to do what you said. And he'll go, why do you think you's poor all your life? You never did what I said. When our nation collapses one day and we all turn to the Lord, we'll all be crying one day. Boy, we'll really cry then. Well, Lord, I wonder how this happened. I don't know, $16 trillion in debt, that would be a good leading reason. When the Lord said, what? We need to balance up. We need to think. We need to use wisdom. But we think we can do what? We're no different than Rome and Greece and other great nations that stand with great influence today. When you decide to do what God tells you not to do, you eventually end up far away from where God said you could be. Isn't it pretty? Doesn't it work like that? I mean, it's just real straight. So guess what? We need to give. We need to serve. Hey, this weekend, I just want to give you a heads up. How many of you? I got to get this mic adjusted. My ears must be shrinking. If they get any smaller, I'll be Martian. Okay, check us out. How many of you all have ever served at the Single Mother's Oil Change? That's a great thing. Man, come this weekend. We need your help. It's a great thing. There's always a place to serve. There's always, if you're a guy that knows how to turn a wrench, we'll show you where the oil pan is. Need a 9/16 and a 3/8. All right? And we'll show you where the oil pan is. All right? And we're going to change oil. The ladies are going to feed and bless. And it's just a great time of serving from 8 to 2. So I got other things to do. Well, try doing something for somebody else. Just see what. How many of y'all have lived so far and never done anything for anybody else but yourself? I know you're not going to raise your hand. But you ought to try. Just see what it does. That your life might be used to touch some other life. You ought to try that. Now, it's a whole lot easier to read books on serving God faithfully than it is to get your hands dirty with oil. It's a whole lot easier to talk about that the world needs to be changed with a servant attitude than it is to actually become a servant, isn't it? It's real easy to have theories. It takes Jesus to have a lifestyle. Man, this is cool. Fifth thing, pray. And after you finish that, pray some more. If y'all want to know a secret to parenting, pray. And guess who really knows how to do that? Moms. I'll say, Elizabeth, what are we going to do? She goes, have you prayed? I said, that's why I'm asking you. I know you have. She said, what would you like to do? I said, it's not Jesus-like. She said, then go pray and get what? Jesus-like. Those five things. Worship. Learn the Bible. Experience the Bible. Build great relationships with other believers. Guess what? Truly give of yourself your resources at a minimum 10% so God's kingdom might be advanced. I got to tell you, man, last night I heard one of the greatest things I've ever heard come out of the mouth of some 20-somethings. I was like jazzed up. I was like, there is some hope. I was talking to a group of 20-somethings. They said, man, we really get this tithing thing. They said, we thought it was absolutely exciting last week. They said, we were at God's stock and we realized that we can't invest a whole lot, but we just do what the Bible says. We give 10%. And they said, you know what? We were a part of 84 baptisms by what God had instructed us to do. See, that's that when you learn that, man, I'm talking this old man. I got excited. I said, listen, here's what I love about life. It only takes a few faithful to do great things. I'll take a few faithful over a majority of unfaithful people and win and see great things. Now, let me show you what Jesus said. He said, you got to do what I tell you to do. Is that clear enough? Just go ahead and just go ahead and share this with your neighbor. You got to do it. Go ahead and tell them that way so they can get it. This is the Kentucky sermon. Come on, you got to do it. You got to do what he said to. It's where it gets tough. We'll go to Luke 6, chapter 6, verse 46, and you're going to see what God said do. First of all is this. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you call me Lord? Why do you call me King? Why do you call me God of everything? And do not do what I say. That's an interesting question, isn't it? Why do you call me Almighty, Sovereign God, but then don't do what I say do? How many of y'all have ever heard people say that? Man, God is great and God is good and he's wonderful and he's all this, he's all that, he's evermore, but then they don't do what? What he says. Well, God says, you know what? He said, let me show you something. He said, let me show you how brilliant a person is when they do what I say. Let me tell you what that's like. Look what he says. I will show you what he's like who comes to me and hears my word and puts my word into what? Practice. Now, all you teachers in the house know what I'm talking about. We can talk theory all day long. How many of y'all loved all those education classes you had to talk about and got taught on, but the educational professor always left out little Johnny who acted up constantly in the classroom. Or little Stevie. Or little Chucky, or Jill, or, you know, Joanna, or whoever. They left out the kid that doesn't follow the instructions. How many of y'all have ever been the kid that didn't follow instructions or have been next to the kid that didn't follow instructions? Yeah. Jesus said, let me show you what it's like. There's a big difference in those who practice my instructions and those who what? Don't practice my instructions. Now, church, I want to wake you up. Listen, I want to encourage you today. Let's work together in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit to follow God's instructions. Because this is what he said, ma'am. Sister, here's what he said. Before he gets to this house building thing, he said, you can't get good fruit off a bad tree. And Jesus got a thing about trees that don't produce fruit. It ticks Jesus off. Now, I know some of you hippie wind-blowing Jesus people that don't think Jesus ever got ticked off. Jesus got ticked off. He got ticked at a tree one day. And when the Lord gets ticked, he can cause some serious damage. He cursed the fig tree. He didn't cuss the fig tree. He cursed the fig tree. Here's what he said. You want to be a tree that doesn't bear fruit? Then good, I'll leave you in that permanent position. That's a bad, don't go there. Don't what? Go there. Don't be somebody that claims God but don't want to live in his fruit. Because let me tell you, God said he wants us to be full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And I'm telling you, that is in those who believe. Those who say, Lord, Lord, and got that foundation, that is in you. So we got to spend a lifetime releasing those, don't we? That's why we need worship, teaching, relationships, great giving servant attitude. And we need what? To pray constantly for ourselves, for each other, that together we get what? Come on, somebody see the dream. Together we get what? Better. If you're new to Hillview Heights Church, we have one mission. May you be saved in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and may you get better. And may you get what? Better. You say, Pastor Steve, I'm a mess. Good, you qualify for our church. We like messes. We believe that Jesus can take your mess and turn you into a blessed mess. That you're going to get better the longer you follow who? Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Now let's look at here. He said, this man who does what I said is like a man who dug down where? Deep. And laid a foundation on the rock. When the flood came and the torrent, all right, struck, that house could not be what? It would not shake it because it was well built. Now, how many of y'all are well built? How many of y'all are well built? Or do you need to be built better? Or, let me give you a third option. How many of y'all are well built but not living up to your build? How many of you already been well built, but you're not acting like you're well built? Hold on. If you're well built, but you're well built if the grace of God's in your life. How many of y'all got the grace of God in your life? You've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in your life, forgive you of all your sins. You are well built. But you got to start doing what? Practicing. I love life. Because life is interesting. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, hear me. I love this. It is very easy to be religious because you can do that without Jesus. And I've searched the Bible because I have a great disgust for religion. I think it's ludicrous when people think they can make about 6 rules, put them on people's lives, and that's going to change their life. And the reason I think it's ludicrous is because they think they're greater than God. God sent 10 rules down on his first trip, and we managed to break all of them before Moses got down to the bottom of the hill. So, Billy, how arrogant would I be if I looked at our congregation and said, here's 7 rules. If you follow them, you will now have the perfect Christian life. It's not that easy. Jesus says, you better listen to me. You better follow me. I'm going to bring you to a place that only I can bring you to, says the Lord. That's the foundation. Now, how many of y'all glad to know that if you are built on Jesus, your foundation will last? Why? Who is your foundation? Jesus. I'm going to tell you what it looks like. Forever in my life will be an image of Katrina. I'm reminded at this time of year. In fact, I got a little anxious when that Isaac hurricane was kind of blowing through. I was praying. I said, oh, Lord, please, please hold those levees. Hold those levees. Hold those levees in New Orleans. Now, I realize it's not too smart to build a city below a lake. Whatever genius thought that up wasn't that bright. Make sense? Usually it's better to have the city. Even the Bible says it's set the city where? On the hill and the lake where? Down in the valley. There you go. How many most of you drive your boat down to the lake? Well, in New Orleans, you drive up to the lake. So when the levee breaks, guess what's got to even up? The water in the city. Usually not a good thing. Let me tell you. I went in about 5 days after the hurricane hit. We were looking at the ministry situations that needed to go on. I had a pastor friend that took me to the subdivision that he used to live in. I stood there awestruck. I don't have an English word. I'd probably have to, there'd be some spirit word of the spirit that would describe this, but I don't want to scare anybody. It was beyond devastation. Roger, I don't know what you call beyond devastation, but whatever that is, that's what it was. And I looked out over this subdivision. It's a subdivision that looked just like Mitchell Heights or Bent Tree or Heartland or Plano subdivision or the new Nashville Road subdivisions. It looked just like an everyday, everybody, just like one of us subdivisions. And guess what? It was all gone. The scripture came to mind. The only thing that was left was the foundation. Except near the beach. In the subdivisions, there were the concrete down there in New Orleans. They don't build them like we do. They pour a pad. And Steve, the only thing that was left was the print of the house. Everything was gone. Jewelry's gone. Memory's gone. Picture of your grandmama, gone. Garbage, gone. Swimming pool, gone. Your kid's trampoline, gone. Your big wheel from your childhood, gone. Everything was gone. You know what that taught me about our things? In less than 24 hours, everything I've accumulated in life can be taken from me. Pastor Markell went through one of those, all of a sudden my life changed instantly experiences. When there he is in the midst of a regular Bowling Green spring thunderstorm in April. And Mark's just sitting there, and Mark eats properly, and he's there at his counter, and he and Tina are having dinner, and all of a sudden, Mark comes flying up off the stool because a lightning bolt hits their house. He said he'd never heard a sound like it. And guess what? He was changed within 2 minutes as smoke barreled out of the top of his house. Here's what I want you to know. What we build can go away real quick. I kind of got tickled last night. I've been a Western fan for a long while. Some of you know that Elizabeth and I have been intimately connected to Western football there for a period of time. And guess what? Last night there was a lot of Tapa fans. But oh, I remember walking out of there about 6 years ago. And I heard the Tapa faithful. We should have never gone D1. I can't believe we're in this mess. We'll never get out of this. We'll never win another game. We probably don't even need to have football. We need to take it out of the school. Boy, I heard a lot. Last night I heard, we're the greatest team ever God's even let exist. Now, somewhere in the middle of those two extremes, there's some truth. But I looked at people, man. People are what? Fickled. But foundations stay the same. He said, a man that builds his house on a rock. Oh, Dr. Cox, I started hearing that old hymn. You kind of getting old, not old, but you're getting up there. You remember this when you were a child? Hemming, you sang this when you were a child, even in the Catholic parish. On this rock, all other ground is what? How many of y'all remember that hymn? On this solid rock, I stand. All other ground is what, girls? Sinking sand. It's sink, brother. Watch this. It'll sink. Only Jesus will stand. Well, guess what? I went to that subdivision. I'm with this pastor friend of mine. And pastor said, my house was over here somewhere. I said, you mean it's gone? And he said, well, this subdivision was built by the same developer. And all the foundation plots look very similar. You know what? If everything was laid down in this church, I hope there's only one thing that could be spotted from Hillview Heights Church. The building blow away. The lights blow away. The music blow. The preachers get blown away. If you don't think there ain't a wind big enough to move you, there is, buddy. That hurricane send you across there like a cork out of a cork gun. There's pew. Woo! Watch! Watch! If all this was laid down, this whole campus print, Clay, guess what I hope they see? I hope they see one big cross and one big empty tomb. And our hope is in Jesus Christ and nothing less, because that will stay, that will stand, that will last, that goes on. A wise person says, I'm going to stand in Jesus. And if everything else goes, I'm going what? Stand in Jesus. This week I had to say see you later to a couple of buddies. One's 62 years old. Big Charlie. Laid his motorcycle down last week. He didn't get up. But he went on. You know how thankful I was at the foundation of his life. I could say, Big Charlie went on in the name of Jesus. You know how thankful I am to get to say those words? And I could only say them because he had a what? Foundation. I mean, Harley Davidsons are cool, but they won't take you on to the next place. You can't ride on. You got to live on. Make sense? Some of you think, well, man, if I just get a lot of money, life's going to be all right. Really? Then tell me why people jumped out of buildings in 1929 when the stock market crashed. Because their life was built on nothing less than money and greed and success. And when that was no longer available, they were no longer. It's that real. When it's all said and done, you can live on a bologna sandwich and some Cheetos. Amen? Back where I come from, that's a good lunch. And it's gourmet if you fry it with a little cheese on top. Now, if you're going to eat like that, you need to know Jesus, crucified and resurrected. For longevity is not in your picture. Heaven is in your future. Okay? There ain't no healthcare program that'll correct that kind of eating, all right? That's why down south we love the Lord. We know how we eat. Make sense? Our foundation's who? Jesus. Crucified. And what else? Resurrected, the hope of humanity. Now look what he said. A foolish person. Now listen, church, I love you. I don't want anybody to be a fool. I don't want anybody to be foolish. Here's what foolishness is. But the one who hears my words but does not put them into practice is like a man who built the house on the ground without a foundation. I told you I went to the beach, the Gulf of Mississippi. I've been with Elizabeth a couple times to the beach. I love the water. How many of y'all love the water? You know, Miss Klein, when you and Mr. Klein had your little honeymoon, you were at the what? I bet y'all said this, man, when we retire, I'd like for us to just live here and you know, and Klein can just play the guitar and kind of be like a Christian Jimmy Buffett here in Jamaica, right? Right? Oh, there you go, you know. We, instead of Margaritaville, we'll have Communionville, you know what I mean? This thing will work. Elizabeth and I have done it before. I've looked at Elizabeth and I said, Elizabeth, you know, I've been at this a long time. Maybe we just need to stay here at Key West and I'll just grow my hair long and roll cigars in the name of Jesus and hand them to tourists that come by. Tell them about Jesus. See, I don't think that's what the Lord's calling you to, but it just in that moment, you know. But you know, the beach is always a nice place when it's about 85 degrees, not much wind, crystal blue skies. I don't think I would have wanted to be on the beach the day the hurricane, Katrina, set foot, would you? Because guess what? We went to another place in the Gulf and we couldn't find the house. And we couldn't even find the location because it was built on sand. And here's the problem with sandy houses. They're good as long as the stock market stays right. And as long as your wife does what she's supposed to do. And as long as your husband acts like he's supposed to act. And Andrew, we know that ain't going to happen. And then Jerry, and as long as you get your right kind of car, live in your right kind of neighborhood, have your right kind of clothes on, as long as, Dr. Ovi, soon to be, as long as everything is going to suit me, that foundation looks good, doesn't it? You see, there's always a day when the rain comes. And the storm hits. And it's when the storm hits that the foundation is revealed. Someone who does not practice what God asking them to practice is as crazy as a person that builds their house on the sand with no anchor and no foundation. Mr. Klein, you in the real estate business. Do you want to insure that home? Because what do you know? There's going to be a wave hit the house. Here's what I'm telling you in life. There's going to be a wave hit you. And so when the wave hits you, who's got you? Jesus. I can tell you this right now. Elizabeth Ayers can tell you this right now. Elizabeth, if our life had not been anchored by the grace of God, we would not be married today, would we? No. So you're our pastor and his wife. Yeah, we're humans. Elizabeth married a wild man. You know what she did with that wild man? Instead of fussing at him, now she did that a little bit. But she fussed at me, anchored to Christ. That's different. She wasn't demanding from me what she wanted. She started demanding from me what Jesus wanted. That changes you. So I just want to get us ready. We got some remodeling to do in the next 10 weeks. Y'all cool? We're going to go through the attitudes of Christ, the mind of Christ. Now listen, don't get off. Now listen, when you remodel, what do you got to do? Anybody been through a remodeling project? Will it be you remodeled yet? If not, you will do it some more. So I'm just preparing you. When you remodel, you got to get the nail puller out. Guess what else you got to use when you remodel? You got to paint. Thank you, Tyler. Sandpaper. Sally, you all had to remodel a little bit. Moved into a new house and you had to what? Remodel it, because no woman ever buys a house with the right colors. They always got to be what? Roger, you've had a little experience in this, haven't you? Remodeling, rebuilding. Hold on. You know why we do that? God does that. So I'm going to ask God to do this. Some of us need some colors changed in our rooms. Where we've colored it black, maybe God needs to color it a lot brighter. Where we've colored it impossible, maybe God needs to color it what? Possible. Where the world's told us it'll never happen, maybe we need to hear God say, I'll happen. How many of y'all would have said 6 years ago that the Toppers would take Kentucky? Remember, I heard some of y'all talking. They said, when they gonna win? And I kept telling y'all, they got to grow up. And they grew up a little. Now a lot. Well, guess what? Hillview Heights Church, I'd have been scared to death to take us to the ocean our first 2 years. Why? Andrew, guess what kind of foundation we had? We had a foundation like a mobile home in the midst of a tornado. Not going to come out good. But now, guess what? There's a lot of us that know Jesus Christ. Nothing less. I'm going to stand on a rock, because all else is what? It's sinking sand. Even some of these holy books I read. The latest, greatest trend. Andrew, Garrett, I fussed at y'all enough. And Billy, you ought to know this by now. Soon to be Reverend Doctor behind you. He's gotten old enough. He doesn't jump on those anymore. God didn't call us to be trendy. In fact, I can't find one place where God said, and be relevant. I can't find one place where God said, be hip and cool. I can't find this, though. He said, be faithful to the foundation I plant in you, because that's good for all generations. Isn't that neat? So, Hillview, I just wanted to wake y'all up. If you don't like a Cross and Resurrection Church, you will not like it here. We believe the Bible. The Bible does not believe in the way of this world. So don't get at me. Why y'all get so mad at me? I didn't write the Bible. I'm just supposed to tell you what it says. But guess what some of y'all want me to do? You want me to rewrite it to suit your room. That's a house of sand. Here's the way the Bible works. The Bible doesn't ask me to rewrite it. It rewrites me. So how many of y'all need to do a little more remodeling and a little bit of rewrite in the next 10 weeks? So watch this. This will be some of our prayers. God, change my heart, change my understanding, change my attitude, change my perspective. May love, joy, peace, patience, you know, faithfulness, kindness, goodness, self-control, may that come out of me more than me. Because sometimes I'm not nice. How many of y'all not nice? Now listen, have y'all noticed I've become a lot nicer this year? New Scottsville Road. That changed my spirituality. I haven't cussed as much this year. I can't say I hadn't any. Because I lied to you, and some of y'all are going, well, I can't believe you do. I said, I can't believe you do either. Because you wouldn't be accusing me if you didn't too. Yeah, that new cut through has changed my life. Isn't that awful? That Scottsville Road used to just tear me up in the morning. Why? Because I was in a hurry operating out of my foundation and not his. Has this made sense today? Talk to me, yay or nay? Come on, talk to me. I love you guys. We got to talk about this. Listen, church, where y'all look at a talking head preacher and go, amen, yeah, hallelujah, good deal, and we don't go do anything about it, I would propose to you that hasn't worked. What do you think? We've had people in Colosseums going, oh, bless you, Lord, and the world hadn't changed. I think we need people that are going to walk in the foundation that God has given. Well, let me show you what that is today. How many of you realize that some of you were brought here today by God to be saved? What? God wants to save me? Yep. Why? You're a sinner. And God's heart is to save and put mercy on those who have messed up. Guess who's messed up? Take a guess. Who do y'all think? Sean, who's messed up? Besides you, who else? Everybody. Not a few folk, every folk. Now, I know what some of you are doing. I used to do it too. You look over at your neighbor and go, well, I hadn't done as much as them. Well, good, both of you going to hell. What sense does that make? Why do y'all think if you go to hell with somebody else, it gets better? But we do that, don't we? I mean, on Friday night, I never one time went, when I was kind of living outside God's foundations for sure, on Friday night, I never went, well, I think I'm just going to go raise hell by myself. I never did that. I always wanted to take somebody with me. Have y'all noticed that? We don't like to sin alone, do we? We think there's kind of a group rate discount or something. I don't know what it is. But guess what God tells us? Now, God says, listen. God says, listen. He says, I want to search your heart. I want you to come to the understanding that everybody's sinned. Okay, y'all with me? Now, listen. God's going to save some people right here. Jesus is going to save some people. New foundation. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Wow. You say, how can Jesus do that? He's foundation. On this rock, I'll build my church. Who's the rock? Jesus. That's why when you try to rock him in, he rocks out because he's the rock. You see, we tried to seal Jesus in with our rock. Let me show you how stupid we are. We tried to seal Jesus in with what he made. He's the Lord of the rocks. He said, Thomas, they'll even cry out and testify. I bet that rock was crying when it was rolling, don't you? It rolled out proclaiming and crying and praising that he is God. He is Lord. He is risen. There is a new life. So today, how many of y'all need to cry out and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I need a new foundation. What do you think God's going to say? He's going to say, Andrew and Billy have blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Seen a lot of people come to Christ. Billy, in your young, bearded, youthful age, you've seen young people come and ask Jesus to come in your life. Have you heard the Holy Spirit when they say, Lord Jesus, come in my life? He'll go, nope, can't do it. Not on the list. Have you heard that yet? I haven't either. So that leads me to believe that whosoever that would cry out to the Lord and repent of their sins, Jesus would do what? Save them. Now, some of you aren't going to cry out. Unfortunately, we've got two groups of people. Some of you will be very wise today and invite Jesus into your life. Unfortunately, some of you will be what? Unwise or not wise, or you will participate in foolishness and try to save yourself. And thus, you will begin your construction of your house built on the sand. Or today you can say, Lord, I want my house built on you. Make sense? Some of you are going to have to say, Lord, I've been living with you for a while, but the living room probably needs a little touch-up. Lord, in fact, I hadn't been in the kitchen in a while, Lord, and we probably need to redo that kitchen. How many of y'all got some places in your life that God just needs to simply refresh and redo? I know that I do. I'll start with me. Amen. I got some places I need to work on. I always got places. Y'all always got places, or am I the only one? How many of y'all ever do this? This is what my faith walk looks like sometimes. Sometimes I'll get out there walking with the Lord. I'll go about this far, and then all of a sudden I go like this again. Any of y'all have that happen to you? Sometimes I fall down. Sometimes I stumble. Sometimes I trip. Oh, by the way, I just want to tell you, if you're new to Bowling Green and you're looking for a perfect pastor, you're in the wrong church. If you'll come see me afterwards, I will give you my five colleagues that pretend to be perfect. But the only difference between me and them is they lie better than I do. I'll tell you what I do. I do some things that are right, but I do some things that aren't right yet. I need to be remodeled constantly. That's why I need to be in worship. I need to learn the Bible. I need to be around the Holy Spirit. I need to be praying. I need to be around my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I need to be surrendered to God at all times. Amen? That's why we need those things. Well, let's stand together. God's going to forgive somebody today. Going to remodel some others today. But he's going to put us all together in this struggle, this community called what? Church. Not a perfect place, but it's getting ironed out. Not a wrinkle-free place yet, but God is steaming her. God is working with us. Now today, if you need a relationship with Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, I have sinned and I need you. I want to repent, which means this, I would like to change. Can I change myself? No. Lord Jesus, come into my life. You go, what's he going to do to me? He's going to make you more loving, more joyful, and more peaceful. Those are the first three things I know. Later on, you'll get more patient, gentle, faithful, self-controlled. That'll roll out with the package as God continues to remodel the house. However, this remodel job, Clay, it's not like the ones we do. We can remodel the house. Only God can change the foundation. Now, here's the problem. Every foundation we build, do you hear what I said? We what? Is temporary. Only the foundation that Jesus gives is permanent. Got it? Love you. Lord, your truth is greater than our interpretation. Lord, I pray for continued healing in our congregation, reality in our congregation. Lord, I don't want anybody to be left out in our congregation. Lord, today you have brought people to Christ. But Lord, in this room, there are others being drawn by you and you alone, Jesus. If that is you and the Holy Spirit, through the power of Jesus Christ, is drawing you to understand this message, tell him, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I want to change my mind. I want to live for you. I want you to change my life. Jesus, come into my life. I trust Jesus to take it from there. Now, this isn't an emotional thing. This is a truth thing. The truth will set you free. How many of you realize today, guys, already put in your mind, in your heart, Lord, I got some areas I need to be remodeled. Okay, don't think because you teach Sunday school class and you're not gentle that you get a bonus and even out on that. Don't think because you gave 12% you can be, you know, unfaithful in other areas of your life. That's not the way the gig works. God, remodel the house. Makes sense? Change my mind, my heart, my attitude. So in the name of Jesus, we're going to open the altar and y'all come and listen, we're not going to spend, the Lord's drawing right now. So y'all just come on right now. Listen, I'm going to ask you to stay here for just a moment and just ask God what he needs and really understand how much God loves you, because he loves you that much. In fact, he even loves you more than that. So in the name of Jesus, BJ, you sing so the Lord might save. I preach so that some might be saved. Jeff, we preach, we teach, we study, we live, we parse verbs in Greek so some might be saved. Son, you come here and you go to the stadium and you do this and you do that so that some might be. Ben, you make sandwiches and take them to campus so that some might be. David, you do videos and this and that and web pages and all that crazy stuff y'all all do so that some might be saved. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, who you draw, he desires everybody. But those who are smart, they'll step out and say, Lord, come into my life. If you've not been baptized yet, guess what? Time to get that done. Here's what I want to tell you about baptism. Dave, this really makes sense today. You and I teach this a lot. Why would somebody call me Lord and not do the first thing I ask them to do, which is baptism? Be obedient. And watch God be even more of a blessing. Lord, thank you for those that are coming, those that will come. This altar is open in the name of Jesus. Come on. This is your turn to come down here to pray. There's nothing that God can't change. So let him do it. In the name of Jesus, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.